Good morning. Good morning, Devin. I don't hear you, Devin. I think you may still be muted or something.
I'm here.
Okay, there you are. Okay.
Hi.
So, people are still arriving. It's not required that people do their homework overnight, but it's nice when it happens, and I'm sure a lot of you did some work and some of you didn't, and that's okay because you have a long time, like all the rest of your life, to do the process. So anybody would like to start chatting this morning? And I'm going to do a survey in a minute, but I want to give space for some other people to show up on the call. Anybody would like to raise their hand and say anything this morning? Okay, we got hand up, Kathy.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
Good.
During the lunch hour, I didn't go ahead to look to see what you said about forgiving and love yourself and everything, but I felt the overwhelming need to do those things anyway.
Yes. Right.
My heel is not hurting quite as much. So there isn't a complete release, but there is some relief, you know, from all these problems that this led me back through. So I was wondering, I had to work last night, so I didn't get to practice.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if going through the process, should I begin at the beginning and go through it completely?
Well, actually,
okay.
Skip step one because you already know what the cause is.
Okay.
But, you know, start from step two.
Okay.
And just work with the release. Now, here's what I found. When I first came up with this method, I would help people find the emotional cause and then have them spend 10 minutes just feeling the emotions while I was making tea. And when I come back, what I'd see was that a major percent, maybe, you know, 30%, not major, but a significant percentage of their suffering had already disappeared. But it was only temporary because it really didn't handle the bigger picture, but it was their higher self's way of saying to them, aha, this is working. So what you get is a little message, say, yes, you're on track, your heel doesn't hurt
good.
As much, things are working. Now that means you're moving in the right direction. Things are going well. But is it all done? No, you got more work to do.
Right. I started to say I'm even today discovering more connections that this goes back to. It didn't go back to the time period when this first started, which was about a year and a half ago. And it didn't go back to 1998. This goes all the way back to childhood and maybe before childhood.
Exactly.
It's what I'm finding.
Yeah, that's a really good insight. Now, a lot of people will see that, oh, well, I got really upset because my friend 6 months ago did or said this thing, and this thing happened in my life. And so we process that. And then you realize, wow, that has a resonance to when I was 20. And, wow, that one has a resonance to when I was 6.
Mm-hmm.
And so these resonant patterns continue through our life, and it's fantastic that you're doing the work and you are taking yourself back again.
Yeah. I started to say, once it started opening up, there was no way to stop it. I cried all during the lunch hour. And
yeah. There you go.
I needed to do that, though.
Yeah, and so that released a lot of the emotion, a lot of the pain, and then the pain is released in the heel.
Mm-hmm.
And
correct.
No, so that may not be quite so temporary because you did more processing than I had suspected.
But like I said, I didn't look ahead or anything like that. And I did forgive myself, you know. What I did, I kind of connected to my dad psychically. I don't know if you do anything like that. And, you know, I told him, you know, I was so sorry I wasn't there for him and, you know, and couldn't keep the promise of taking care of my mother like I made to him at the time and things of that nature. And it was just like he was here and he was patting me on the shoulder like he used to do. And he said, that's okay. That's okay. you know.
Yeah. I mean, that is so sweet. And that's, so I suspect that heel pain is much more relieved than you know, because you did some really good work there. And that's going to continue. I just thought you had gotten in touch with the emotion and you had some relief, but I think this is significant because you've done some significant
work. Oh,
it is. Yeah.
My foot is hurting, but not anything like it was.
Yeah. And so what you'll see is there's still more pain that you're going to want to process, as you know. And as you process that pain, the pain doesn't need to be in the foot, because if you put it into your emotions, it doesn't have to be in the foot.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so very much.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Okay. We have Anne Marie.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Hello, can you hear me?
I do.
Okay. My question was, I know you're writing a book on this. I was wondering, is it helpful to have a page of possible emotions, like 20 listed of emotions, because people have a hard time actually putting it into words, but once they see the word, they're like, oh, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I think that would be a very good idea, and I should definitely put that in the book, is emotions you might find that are going on, you know, the anger, the jealousy, the hurt, the rage, the frustrations. Mm-hmm. I don't probably have to list the positive ones because you're comfortable accessing the joy and the love and the happiness and the fun and things like that. But, I think that's a very good idea.
But then I thought, well, maybe we don't need all that because everything boils down to the guilt, shame, depression, hurt, anger that we already covered yesterday. Are the others
I think they're all important, but I think the fundamental ones, because people like to be glib and say, oh, it's all love and fear. But what's the fear? The fear is you're going to be angry and you're going to be hurt, right?
Okay.
And so, and underneath all that anger and all that hurt is a lot of love. That's the great secret, is that underneath all that pain is so much unfinished love.
Okay. And also in the book, could you also put examples of what people are having problems with, judgments, like I should be or I should feel? Put a lot of examples of what a judgment is, because people are getting the judgment and the emotions confused. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And, yeah, I think that it's kind of good that people have all these judgments and emotions that get to be exposed through the work. And the judgments and the emotions are certainly related. It's just that sometimes I'll say, what emotions do you feel? And all they tell me are their judgments. And because a lot of times people don't know how to access their emotions. All they know how to access is their judgments. So I said to a man, what did she do wrong? And he says, I said to this guy, so what emotions do you feel because of what she did? And he said, well, she was wrong. So, you know, wrong isn't really an emotion, but it's a judgment. And a lot of people do confuse their emotions with judgments, because that's about as close as they can come to expressing an emotion is to express a judgment. But it's really good to make those distinctions, for sure. Thank you. All right. So let's do a little survey now that most people are here. Okay, we have one more call, and then I'll do the survey. Let's check in with Lori, all right?
Okay. Lori?
Hi. I just wanted to ask, I was going over all the notes I took while we were doing this yesterday and just the specifics on top of the notes, you know, you had provided with us. And I kind of came down with what I think is a definition of what the process is, and I just want to know if I have it kind of right.
Good.
And what the point of it is if you take your physical pain,
mm-hmm.
and put it into the intensity of the emotion, fully feel the emotion, like the way you were saying, for like 20 minutes. After 2 or 3 minutes, it gets difficult. So you fully feel it for like those 20 minutes or whatever it is you're going to do, write the letter, whatever release you're going to choose to use, or even do all of them, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Then you release the emotion. Then the physical pain can go away because you're not holding it in your physical space anymore. You've released it emotionally, so it's now gone. Is that kind of how the process works?
That's a part of it. That's a very well stated part of it. Then after you've released the emotion, which often happens in Gestalt therapy, but they don't take it any further than that, then you move it into the third step, which is the insight. Oh, my God. Look how I hurt myself.
Oh, no, I understand.
Yeah,
I
right.
understand you have to do the rest of the steps.
Yeah,
I'm
but
just
you're
saying
right.
The general gist is to take the physical pain,
absolutely.
Turn it into emotional, release the emotional pain, and then there's a better chance that physical pain will go away.
Oh, it's not just a better chance. It really works effectively.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I wasn't trying to say it doesn't work.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that's the general gist of what
that,
I have.
That is exactly what the process is about. The body translates emotional pain into physical symptoms, but it also translates them into relationship issues, and it translates them into financial or success issues. So as you practice working with this, what you're going to find is that you'll have the ability to say, talk with somebody who's having trouble with their little business and say, well, what emotions do you feel because the business is failing, and how does it interfere with your life? What's it keep you from doing, and what judgments do you have? And you go through some of the questions, and you start to find exactly the same kinds of issues that are going on, and as they process those issues, the health of the business or their wallet transforms, just like it would with their health. What this comes down to is we live in a 3D holographic spiritual reality where our consciousness is being translated into physical form, whether it's health, relationships, or successes. We are expressing the unexpressed emotion because we came into this life, in my opinion, to learn to love and to learn to have fun. That's our priorities, to love and have fun. And to the extent that we get caught in all the wounding and other things that are part of this reality is the extent that we don't let ourselves fully be ourselves. And I think that part of the journey of being physical is to be involved in an awakening process where we become increasingly conscious and awake. And through that awakening process, we learn how to be ourselves with a great deal of power, skill, strength, and other resources that we wouldn't have had we not put ourselves through this. So somebody who learns that they can have the power to work through that level of adversity takes something with them spiritually that you wouldn't have had you not had to work through that adversity. So when you're beyond the level of need to have adversity, you'll still have the strength and the power and the ability to shift your consciousness. So I think that's what this whole play is about. But that's just my opinion. What do I know? I just live here.
All right. No, thank you. I appreciate that.
You bet. Sure. Well, thank you. And how's your process coming?
It's coming. My child is sick, so I did not get to do as much processing as I would like to because I had to take care of her. But I did do some, and my pain is definitely, I don't want to say the pain itself is less, but it feels like the joints have loosened up a bunch.
Well, that's a good start.
But the other woman said where she felt that she had made steps in a direction. Like, I definitely feel like you had said also, people, once they realize the actual cause, just that has given me some relief.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
And I feel like once, assuming she's well enough to go to school tomorrow, I might have some processing time that I'll make that much more progress.
Yeah, well, we'll talk in a week, and we'll talk on Saturday, so you have that time, and then we'll check in and see how it's doing. But just think about this. Now that you know the emotional cause, that does give you a greater level of freedom.
It does, and you know, sort of like what's causing it, like what the problem is.
And then you
kind of work on it.
And your joints feel a little looser because you have a little more mobility. See, we can always translate the physical into emotional. And you're feeling, I can feel there's an uplift in your voice and your enthusiasm.
Oh, good.
You know, and because it's there, because now you have that greater mobility and freedom, and your joints are already showing you, aha, there's more mobility here. Because everything gets translated in this hologram from emotion into physical on one level or another.
Makes perfect sense.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
All right. So let's do a survey. I think all the hands are down now. That's correct. Okay. So let's say everybody who got all the way through the process and came out the other side, which is quite an accomplishment, why don't you press all the way to self-love. I love you. It got into the I love you steps. You can press number one. Those of you who didn't quite make it through the forgiveness, press two. Those of you who got stuck in remorse and didn't get through the remorse, you can press three. Those of you who got stuck on the insight, what is that, four?
Mm-hmm.
Then those of you who are still involved in the release, press 5. And I think everybody has a discovery. So, let's see what we got. Wow! That is amazing. That's really good. Okay, so what we have is most everybody, actually it's a very large percent, got all the way through to the other side, and a few people in the middle, and a large group is still dealing with a release. So if you get through the release, it looks like people just skirt all the way through to the other side. So we have 16 people who got all the way through to the other side. We have 15 people who are still working on release, and another 5 people in between. So that is spectacular. So we can just leave the hands up, I guess, because I can just kind of wander through. Why don't we work with some people to begin with who got to the other side for inspiration? So let's call on some number ones, and then we'll see where that goes. If you don't want to be, okay, wait, I got a better idea. Let's have everybody put their hands down, and if you want to be called on, if you're a number one, raise your hand and we'll call on you. Otherwise, we're just going to call on people without them wanting to be called on. So if you'd like to talk about your experience of going all the way through, I love you, I love you, I love you, raise your hand and we'll call on you. Because I don't want this thing to be about making people talk if they're not comfortable talking. So.
Okay. We have Annabelle.
Hi, Annabelle.
Hi. I'm so excited to talk about this. When I did the discovery phase, I had really had no idea how much shame I had been carrying around. And so I went through the release process, giving everybody back their bag of crap, like more people than I would have even thought, but just more kept coming up. And I was like, here's your crap.
No, thank you. Not mine.
And I just kept... Well, first of all, I avoided doing it until about midnight. I just found lots of excuses to not even start. But then I just sat down and I worked all the way through, and I was just like crying the entire time, nonstop. The forgiveness phase, I didn't think that I would get through that. I'm sorry, please forgive me.
Yeah, right.
I love you. That took a while.
Mm-hmm.
But then, once that started to come through, the rest really flowed. And by the time I got to I love you, I love you, it was just incredible. I felt like like all of the feelings of love that you feel for other people, like for your child or for a lover or a best friend, like all those feelings I suddenly felt for myself. And it was just like, I miss you so much. Where have you been?
Yes, and that is such a beautiful thing. I want that to be written down so we can put it on the advertisement for the class. Because that is what happens. You actually get to feel self-love at the level that you could potentially feel it for another person. And what a gift.
It was really incredible. And then I just kind of lied there with myself, like hugging myself.
Yeah, you took yourself back finally.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, here you are.
Yeah, finally, you took yourself back. And you got to experience that incredibly dynamic and powerful self-love as never before.
And then one more thing. I sometimes talk to my guides, and I kind of open myself up to that plane, and then I kind of felt like one of my guides was like descending into my body, and I thought, well, what is that? And then I realized that's your higher self coming back into you.
Yeah.
And then I just was like, okay, it's time for us to go to sleep now.
Wow.
It was really beautiful, and I feel like it's that like sort of perfect state has dissipated a little bit, but I know that I can get back there if I go through the process again when new things come up. And it's just, it's really powerful to have that tool. And thank you so much, Richard.
Was there a condition that you were working on as well?
Well, it started with, I have crooked teeth that got crooked after the birth of my first child.
Yeah.
And, well, they haven't straightened out.
Okay. That would be interesting if they had, but yeah, that's okay. Yeah,
but it's okay.
But you see, now the judgment about that isn't in place.
No, it's not the same.
Yeah, it's not the same.
And I've had a lot of other insights into how I feel about other people.
Mm. Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, thank you so much. That's really well stated and inspiring.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you all.
Okay, great. All right, let's call.
Okay. Yeah, let's hear from Julie.
Yes, hello.
Hey, Julie. Wow, you sound sparky.
Hi. Oh, I am sparky.
Yeah.
This is a great process. I did it on a relationship issue that I've done a lot of work on already, and I was just, it was fascinating to see what just new angles and avenues and release that came. And the whole thing was just so very cool. And when I got to myself, So it was one of my best deep friends, thought it was going to last forever, and it's basically ended. So it was, something that had a lot of emotion with it and a lot of pain. And so when I got to myself and worked through that, and what was cool was at the beginning, kind of like Annabelle said, it was a little bit, I couldn't quite connect in right at the beginning, so I just started to see my children in front of me and my mother and my sister and people I care about. And that only took like a minute. And then I wanted to connect into just the emotion and the feeling of deep love. And then I just put myself in front of me, and I was able to just go.
Mm.
And so, and feel that, like all of that welled up then for myself. And it was so sweet because, like Annabelle said, it was the most heavenly experience of self-love and just weeping. And what was so sweet for me was that by the end of it, I was saying things to myself and saying, vice versa, saying things back and forth, to myself that I would have said with a friend.
Mm,
things that we had said, actually.
And that is the new experience, is to experience self-love on the same dynamic level as the most intense love we've ever experienced.
Yes. And some of the things that were actually part of the pain I was looking through were what I'm going to call promises made, like, you know, I'll always love you, I'm never going anywhere, you're stuck with me, you know, things that I didn't realize how much I had counted on in that friendship. So when it changed, that was part of the pain of just feeling kind of a broken promise. But then I was sitting there with myself, and I was saying to myself, because I realized how authentic, like, I'm not going anywhere for myself, you know what I mean? I mean, I could choose that, but I'm always with me, and I always have the possibility of this love with me. And so it was so beautiful. It was like I repeated those same promises to myself and just wept. And it was, like you said, it was so powerful. And actually, I think even for me, and just really deeper and felt more alive and profound than I actually have ever had with anybody else. You know what I mean? It really went further. And so I can't wait to go back and do that again and again, and realizing I can access that whenever I want.
And what you may find is either that friendship might find a second life, or other relationships will become more profound and beautiful.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, wonderful.
Okay, I believe we have one more. Let's see. John, did you want to say something? Hello, hello?
Oh.
Okay, yeah, maybe not. It looked like you accidentally might have hit something.
Okay. Wow. So there you have it, folks. That's what it looks like when people go through to the other side. Now, we haven't heard major reports yet about let me just ask the question instead. Did any of you have, like, profound health shifts? And we don't have to hear your story, but I'd just like to know if some of you have had, like, some major symptom shifting going on. Press 1 if you do, and you can tell us a little bit about it if you like. Okay, if we've got start on, yeah, we got some people here. Let's call on someone, Devin.
Okay. Manjushi, are you there?
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
So I was having this shoulder pain, neck pain for the last 3 weeks that I've been dealing with, and going through the process. I know I've still not completed the release process yet. Mm-hmm. I've gone through, like, massages and took medications to take care of it, did everything.
Sure.
But the last, since I started this process yesterday with you guys, this morning I woke up, and even yesterday night when I went to sleep, I mean, it's like 90% gone.
Isn't that amazing?
The sore spot is still there. I think still, you know, still going through the process, but it was just amazing. It was amazing that how my body was trying to communicate with me, and I didn't know that. And 2 days ago, I was expressing to my husband how angry I was at the pain, and that I just said to it, you know what, do whatever you want to do. I'm just done with you. And I just didn't know that was the anger that was coming up that we were talking about yesterday. And
yeah,
it was amazing that when I could go, I went through the process of dealing or processing the emotion of anger. It went back to so many incidences in my life that I just still there. I know that, but most of it is gone. So the pain went away too. That was amazing.
Thus the corollary that the body has the ability to be sick, not as a dysfunction, but a communication from our higher consciousness. That the body has the ability to show us how we've stopped loving. And the fact that you were angry at the pain was a huge whisper in your reality.
Yes, now I can see that.
Now you see it. And next time you'll see it more quickly. Because, in this life, we're always going to have these emotions and things coming up. But now we have tools to process and deal with it effectively.
Yeah, and what's amazing is that the whole way of looking at pain changed a lot for me yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not necessarily bad, and it's not there to give me discomfort, but it's just to communicate that there's something else that I have to take care of. And there was a I believe it's Ian LaVanzant, who is one of the speakers at Oprah Winfrey Show.
Mm-hmm.
She described pain as pay attention inwards now, and now I kind of get it, what
yeah.
she meant at the time. But I really, really appreciate you for putting this workshop, and I feel like it just came at the time when I needed it most. So I really appreciate the work that you're doing
Thank you so much for, you know, for your what you're doing for yourself and how you're inspiring everybody else. This is great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's hear from Nancy. You there, Nancy?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning. My experience was really interesting because I had neck pain that I was focusing on yesterday,
mm-hmm.
but had in the evening had a bout with anger at a relative. So I kind of
mm-hmm.
went to bed with that without really
yeah.
processing it. But I had gone through the whole experience with the other in terms of the neck pain and everything else. And then I wake up at 1:30 in the morning with this flaming sore throat.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
I'm like, this is interesting. You know, and normally I'm thinking, oh gosh, am I coming down with the flu that everybody's getting? And normally I would have done maybe done some QT,
mm-hmm.
which works wonderfully and can snap away. I've been fighting off anytime I feel like I'm getting a sore throat. But this was so different. It was like this burning in my throat, and I'm like, okay, so maybe this has to do with some of the process that I'm going through.
Mm-hmm.
Let me look at this, and I maybe this is like burning anger. So I kind of laid there, and I kind of like went with the emotion and did the process as best I could without my notes in front of me. And it took me back to infancy of realizing this insight that, and I remembered this, but and I had forgiven my mother for it, of her not wanting another girl. I was the third girl.
Mm.
And this disappointment, a big disappointment on her part. And so I'm like, okay, and it was this huge insight that came to me. So I did the forgiveness of myself for holding on to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I did the cradling
yeah.
method that you teach.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this profound, absolutely beautiful, joyful experience of just being loved. And not just from myself, but from just, you know, of God, of the universe.
Yes, yes.
And it was beautiful. And then the sore throat, gone.
Gone, yeah.
Gone.
Yep. There. Now
yeah.
you see it. Now you don't. Well, yeah. I had my flu symptom disappear, and you had your sore throat. It could have been the beginning of flu as well.
Yeah.
Gone.
Gone.
And yeah. And you realize how magical this reality is.
Yes.
And you actually combined self-created health and quantum touch there.
Yes.
And so that's part of the bridge, which I realize is something I don't understand real well. And because I haven't really focused on it as deeply,
mm-hmm.
but it's a good example of bridging the two modalities together and where they overlap.
And one other thing that I kind of brought in there also was some visualization of taking, and it was kind of like what I saw in it visually was this like this burning lava ball.
Mm. So you
taking this
yeah.
burning lava ball and in a visualizing just kind of throwing it into the volcano and getting rid of it, you know?
Yeah, so you personified, you gave an image to the pain and the anger.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
then you worked with that image and ran energy and so forth, and you went into the past and did the cradling and holding of the
mm-hmm.
child or whoever it was.
Yes, and it was beautiful. I mean, just really profoundly just feeling of joy, feeling of secure, being secure,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
and loved, this profound love. And it was just awesome. And I thank you so much.
You wonder, how could psychotherapy have missed it? So, you know, something so obvious.
Yes, I know. It's just, this is just beautiful. I mean, you're just doing a wonderful service, and I just want to thank you.
Oh,
so
thank
much.
You. And it just kind of reminds me, if any of you feel inclined who have had big success to write, you know, 50, 100, 200 words about this process to encourage other people to want to learn it, maybe we'll even put it in the book, you know, when I finally write it.
Yeah.
I'm not one who likes to write books a whole lot, and when I do, they're going to have to be good books and be long-lasting. But I am starting to put this together, but if you want to write about your experience,
sure.
We could post it online and let people know about this, about how profound this work really is and what your experiences are with it. And I would really appreciate it for any of you who are having important experiences, because to be able to access self-love on these levels, this is unheard of. I don't know any processes that allow people to experience overwhelming self-love.
No, and I've tried a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of different methods, and some work for different things, but this not as a deep level as this. So I'd be happy to write something.
Oh, thank you so much. All right, great. We have someone else on.
Yeah, we have one more hand up. Rebecca?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
This is so interesting. The way I can my condition was sleep issues.
Mm-hmm.
And tightness in my muscles and mild headaches and waking up about an hour and a half after going to sleep. Or even if I did sleep all the way through, I still would wake up with the tightness. And last night, I'm not going to say I've gone all the way through, but pretty close. I want to do some of the specifics in the exercises.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like the cells in my body were collectively saying, just complete relaxation.
Nice.
They all responded. It was that part of me that is bigger than my brain was able to send the message to the brain, which then coordinated and worked with all of me. It was like I was whole. And then the brain sent the messages to the cells throughout my body. And it was the recognizing, the insight that I was whole.
Wow.
That every part integrated. And I'm in awe. I don't understand why people aren't lining up to get this information.
Write it down, and here's the thing. I never anticipated, and I have not anticipated, that self-created health will be as popular as quantum touch. And not that I'm wanting to put a negative spin or affirmation on it.
Right.
It's just that the level of responsibility and willingness and courage that it takes to do this is uncommon
mm-hmm.
in the world. That people have to be dedicated and committed to their growth in order to even want to hear about this work or do it. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, writing the book is a act of love, because it will give people the opportunity, should they choose to find that responsibility. But the more people like you and the others who have spoken this morning, you know, help other people know that this is available to them, maybe
right.
we can reach a lower tipping point where it's not quite so challenging for people to consider the possibility that they can work
right.
on themselves.
You got it. I'm in. And another suggestion, it just popped in
Please.
My head.
Yeah.
When we use the word work,
yes.
you know, when we're children, it has a, you know, pretty good sound to it.
Right.
Much. But then as we go through the educational system, then work becomes drudgery. And then as
yes.
we're adults, we have all these not so good memories of what work is by
right.
our, you know, family's definition and
yeah.
and when our workplace. So it to me, this is happy work. So is there a way we can come up with a definition to get out there, so maybe that would help people see that this isn't hardness
I think that you're right. There's a tremendous lot of negative association with the idea of work. In fact, when I was like 20, I came up with a new word where when your play is your work and your work is your play, you call it plurk.
Yeah.
But this doesn't feel like plurk at all to me. This is something else. I've heard another definition of homework, of the work you do that takes you home within yourself spiritually.
Okay.
So this is more like homework that you do, the work that brings you home spiritually.
Yeah, and that's good for people that are becoming aware. But what about those people that if you offer it in a way that they can relate and just tweaking it?
I think it's going to require a lot of thought to come up with a way of expressing it. But I think that as you write something down for people that expresses that this isn't like hard work, it's love work or something else. You know, it will come up with a new way of expressing it. But I think as people do that, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to probably interview a lot of people in the process of making the book, so that I can bring in more heart from lots of people and their point of view, because me telling somebody something is not the same as hearing about how that works. And maybe if anybody wants to be involved in the project, you know, if you can just hit number 5 on the keyboard or something, and we'll make note of who it is that would love to be involved in helping to make that happen, because I don't feel it's enough for me to just say it to people. I think they need to read it and hear it from a lot of other folks.
Right.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, great. So do we have anyone else with who wanted to speak on? I think we've got the people who wanted to talk about the issues. So we don't have any more ones with their hands raised right now who want to talk about the success. Let's talk about people who got stuck a little bit, or people who need to go through the process. Does anybody want to talk about how you'd like a little more help or understanding of the process right now, or where you got stuck? A lot of people. Yeah. Okay. So we have got a few hands up now.
Okay, let's go with Manjushi.
Hi again.
Yeah.
So, you know, although it started as a shoulder pain, I thought that would be one circumstance that I could pinpoint to and relieve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I did find some relief. It seems like, you know, the anger issue is much more deeper than I thought it would be. And
right.
It just touches, it seems like there are like highlights in my life that pinpoint to.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of working through pretty much each one of them. But then at the end of it, I still feel like there's still some remnant of it. But when I bring those incidences up again, it doesn't have as much of intensity. And then I'm realizing that underneath the anger, there's something else, like guilt. And now mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my gosh. And then underneath the guilt, I think there's some shame. So it's just more than what I thought it would be. So I just feel like I'm still stuck in the releasing process. And it's, I guess at one point, because of that, I'm like, am I going to be able to get to the other side?
Well, here's the thing. Do your best and realize that the shame, as we talked about, needs to be handed back to the person, and the guilt needs to be transformed into the anger. And so you really can deal with that intensity of anger that is probably still going on inside you. But you, no one or very few people ever feel like the emotional release is sufficient. And this is an important point I didn't cover yesterday. When you release the intensity, the anger and the hurt and all that stuff, a lot of times it feels wonderful getting it out of your system, But you could always go back and feel it again. And you could do it forever, if that's what you wanted to do. You see, when they hurt you, you are justified in feeling hurt. And you could remember it every day for as long as you live, and you would be justified to be hurt every day, forever. Except that it would kind of destroy you. That's the downside of it. So what happens is we need to feel the emotions with all the intensity we can feel them with. We want to, you see, if you want to feel love to the maximum intensity, you also need to be willing to feel the painful emotions to the maximum intensity. The problem is that people don't let themselves feel with any great intensity. And so then they don't feel love with any great intensity, and their life becomes gray and passionless. And if you look at people's lives, you look at the joy of a 3 or 4 year old, and then you look at the joy of an 80 year old, and you see there's generally a major diminishing of joy as people get older, which I think is tragic, at least in this culture. I know there's some other cultures where that's not true. But in this culture, people tend to shut their emotions down, and you don't feel it. So to be willing to feel the intensity of that anger, put the pedal all the way down to the metal, just really run with that intensity and feel it. And then at some point, when you're ready, just drop it. Now, you can always come back to it later if you want to, but you need to drop it and then move on to the insight that you did it to yourself. Yes, I hurt me by carrying this around for all those years, by shutting down my life force, by hurting myself in all these different ways. You need to feel that remorse that you hurt yourself and then take it into forgiveness. You will never be done processing the anger if that's all you do. You need to do your very best. It won't be perfect, but it'll be good. That's the thing. Go for a B, go for an A plus in terms of the level of experiencing it, but don't try to be perfect in terms of, okay, now it's all gone, I don't feel it anymore. If you can get there, that's great. But to a lot of people, they won't get there. They'll never get that far to the point where I don't have any hurt anymore, it's all gone, or I don't have any anger anymore, it's all gone. You do your very best to release it, and then go through the rest of the process. Take a chance. Move into the insight and the remorse and the forgiveness, which automatically turns into the self-love. Go for the rest of the process. And then a week or two later, if something else comes up that makes you angry, then work with humility, meaning what's new this time? What's different this time? And see what you can find that is different about the situation, and process those emotions. And maybe there's anger again, and you think, well, this is the same anger, but no, that's not that doesn't have humility. What's different about the anger this time? Oh, I see. I didn't process this aspect of the anger. Now, there's a fellow I know, and he took this workshop, and he had lifelong environmental allergies, and they just bug him all the time. And it took him about 8 minutes to figure out exactly what the allergies were about, and he processed the emotion, and his allergies went away for about a week. And then the allergies started coming back. But when they came back, they were only about 30% as bad as they had been. In other words, they were a reminder, not debilitating. So this is a great guy, and he said, okay, let's see what's different this time about the allergies than they were last time. And he went through the process, the discovery process, and he found, oh, it's the same theme, but there's these pieces of the theme that he hadn't dealt with the first time. And every week, his allergy would go away, and his allergy would come back. And every week, he'd say, oh, my God, I'm going to get to love myself better than I've ever loved myself before, because there's some message given here this time the allergy came up that had not come up previously. So he processed those aspects of it, and the allergy would go away. And I haven't talked to him in a while about it, but he's been doing really well in his life. He's very happily married, and he's having a wonderful experience.
So I guess my question was, I think that's maybe that's where I got confused or stuck, is after the release, I maybe understood that the insight comes automatically, but
no, you have to work to find the insight. So look what they did to you, and then realize you're doing that to you. You've been hurting yourself the same way that they've been hurting you. You've been doing something to yourself. So yes, they made you mad, but you've been making yourself mad too, because you've been carrying that anger around and probably doing to yourself in a way. Like I use the example of rejection. Somebody rejects me. So how do I feel when I'm rejected? Oh, I feel terrible. Well, how do you treat yourself? Oh, well, I reject myself. Am I giving myself love? Am I nurturing? Am I kind? No, I'm rejecting myself. So, oh my God, yes, they did that to me way back when, but I'm still doing it to me today. I'm hurting me in the way that other people hurt me. I'm abusing myself in a way that I had been abused. That is the insight. And you got to be willing at that some point to take it from the release into the insight. Then from the insight, you can go to the, it's automatic to go to the remorse. Because if you repeat to yourself what the insight is, you know, for 5-10 minutes, letting yourself, oh my God, I did this to myself. I hurt me. Yes, they did it to me originally. Mom and Dad did it to me, and siblings and peers and all. Yeah, they all hurt me this way. They all did it to me. But now I've been carrying that. I've been doing that to myself for 30 years. Wow. That's intense. And then you let yourself feel that pain of from that insight. And from there, that automatically goes to the remorse, which leads you ready for forgiveness. And so you, that's how you take it the rest of the way.
Can it take it to guilt?
If you're going into guilt, you need to transform it back into anger. Yeah, but I would prefer to use the word remorse. You see, guilt is where you just feel terrible about it, but remorse is where you care about the damage that's been done. Guilt is where you just beat yourself up. Remorse is where I know I hurt you and I will never do that. I care so deeply, I could never let myself do that again.
Thank you.
Yes. You're welcome.
Okay. Let's hear from Patricia.
Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah.
So I got, well, what I worked on was what I worked on with my partner yesterday, not what you did with me yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I wrote an angry letter to two people from way back when I was 13.
Okay.
And it felt good because after I wrote it, I guess part of my insight was, gosh, you know, this memory has been coming back to me again and again over 50 years.
Yeah.
and it just brought back feelings of, you know, the emotions of not being listened to, not being believed, not being taken seriously, and feelings of embarrassment and all that. So then I realized that I was, just by carrying all this all these years, and see if you agree with me, I'd been hurting myself just for rehashing it all
yes.
this year.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Okay. But I didn't go a whole lot farther because over the years and this tells me how your process needs to be done in step by step in the right order because
exactly.
I've always felt like, okay, I've forgiven these people, but they keep coming back.
I guess you weren't done, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
So, but I didn't get into the remorse part
yeah.
as far as feeling how badly I hurt myself.
That's waiting
right.
for you now. That's
okay.
waiting for you. And when you get into realizing how many years or how long you've been carrying that pain around with you
mm-hmm.
and how that's impacted your life, how that's hurt you so deeply to do that, and you really let yourself feel that for 5 or 10 minutes and just get the magnitude of it, then you need to do the forgiveness. It's not like an option at that point. You've got to go there and take it all the way into love, and then you'll be transformed.
You know, I've been, one of the things that I've been wanting to accomplish lately, because I took the QT1 class, and I've been considering taking the QT2. I bought your book, read it all the way through, and I just seem to have a problem bringing up that love that you need to be able to bring up in order, you know, to send
right.
someone else. So I
yeah.
don't know. I need to find that for myself first.
Well, it can, That's something. You can also just work with a lot of heart sensation. I'm not really going to make this a QT2 class, but you can work with a lot of heart sensation as well as the love, and that will help generate it. But definitely do the emotional process work, and you'll find that QT2 will be much more successful.
Okay. I'm glad I signed up for this class first, because it was a toss-up between the two, and I thought, oh, how could this one help me get to where I want to go, and now I'm seeing the way.
Fantastic.
I'm glad I signed up, and I really appreciate what you're doing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Really appreciate it from you, too.
Thank you.
Thank you. Right.
Okay, we have Edith.
Yeah, hello. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we do.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Well, first I must say I worked through a process, through a condition that worked pretty well. And I went to another condition,
mm-hmm.
worked through it, and then it was really a lot of things going on. And I really found it very difficult for me to... how should I say? To do this process with the forgiveness for myself. So
yeah.
I recognize it is easier for me to forgive others than to do it for myself.
Yes, of course.
Yes. It's really
so,
hard, the hard thing to do, yes.
That's why doing the step-by-step forgiveness process where you say, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, and you keep going back and forth saying those words. And then what happens is you just get to the place, and sometimes it happens, you go, I just can't possibly forgive myself on this one. It's just too much. Then what you do
yeah.
is you take a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, and then you say the words to the one you're looking at and said, I forgive you, I love you. And the other one's just feeling so bad, and she's saying back to you, oh, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you. And you're saying, I forgive you, I love you. And she's saying, please forgive me, I'm so sorry, I love you. And then you say, I forgive you, I love you. Keep going back and forth like that, because that's the transition step. When you don't feel you can forgive yourself, one of you is saying, I forgive you, and the other is saying, please forgive me. That is so powerful in that transition step when you don't feel like you can do it. After a while, go ahead and jump to the second step where you start saying, I forgive you, I love you, while the other is saying, please forgive me, and you'll see that it works, and it'll take you over the hump into the rest of the way of the forgiveness.
Well, I felt it worked. I did it like you said, you know, so I jumped to the next step. But
oh,
I just recognized that it really is hard to do for me.
Yeah, it is hard, but it's doable. That's the important thing.
Yeah, and then I was through it, and then I felt other emotions in this condition came up, you know.
Yes,
right. I had to process. But I also feel now very shaky because it's some dramatic things going on.
Yes.
So then I stopped and for the moment because I thought maybe it's too much for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So, I have to go on, you know. I think there are different layers come up now. So.
Yes, as it should be.
Yeah.
Because we have a lifetime of experience that are in layers. And so for you to experience all of it at once could be too much, so you got to experience it piece by piece, and that's how you are doing it, and that's perfect.
Yeah. Well, I also feel that most of the issues I have are connected to traumas I had before birth, you know. So
okay.
I worked a lot to have access to the emotions. So now I think I can work on it. So because the first years I was very frozen, you know, didn't have access to the emotions.
Mm-hmm.
But now I feel this is all coming up, and I really, what you said, it's really necessary, or what felt that it's necessary to go to the point, you know, not to have the access to the emotions. Because this is really, really important. Otherwise, you cannot let go of it. So.
Yeah, this is the most important part of our life, isn't it?
Yeah. This is what I really felt.
Yeah.
But I'm already the first I worked through was worked quite well, and I was pretty surprised what came up because I didn't remember at all what was coming up. I didn't remember it, so I was quite surprised.
Well, the best insights are the ones that surprise us.
Yeah. So thank you.
That's how you know you're really having an insight, because it surprises you.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, Lori?
Is that me, Lori? Because there were two yesterday.
It's you, Lori. You're mic'd.
Me?
Yeah.
Okay. There's so much has been discussed since I wrote down what I first wrote down, but I forget who it was. But one of the people said that they had felt after doing the process and getting to the discovery and going through that they had slept better, and they had that all their cells felt relaxed and all. And that was something that really jumped out at me, because I realized I had like one of the best night's sleeps I've had in the longest time.
Wow.
After just going through finding the discovery yesterday.
Wow.
And when she was speaking and talking about the cells and all that, what smacked me, not literally smacked me, but you know, just jumped out at me was mental massage.
Mm.
I feel like just going through the discovery process itself was a mental massage, like a psychic massage, like inside massage. And I think that's why I got to have a really good sleep last night. And I didn't have any issues getting to sleep. I don't get up in the middle of the night usually, but getting to sleep is sometimes an issue for me. But just going through the discovery process gave me enough, like, relaxation to be able to get to sleep easy. And that's really cool.
That's wonderful.
And that's all I wanted to say. I have other things to say, too, but that's all I want to say for now, because we're so off that topic at this moment. But I just wanted to mention that. It was like a mental massage.
That's fantastic. No, I think this is all really good, because you know, so much of what we're doing right now is going over the information and inspiring ourselves to be willing to continue doing this process.
No doubt. Well, I feel like my psyche, I guess, has jumped. because I have the discovery. I don't feel like I've had a big release or anything.
Yeah.
But I already know about the insight that I'm doing this to me.
Yeah.
So I want to, like, take the time of the next week that we have to go back and deal with the release part, because skipping the steps seems stupid.
Right.
Kind of like when you're walking up a flight of stairs and you miss a step, you know, and then you stumble. Like, I feel like I'm not in the, I know about the insight, but I think after I have my release regarding my particular discovery, that then I can get to the true insight of it and how I've been carrying it on.
Exactly, exactly. And kudos, because you know how important it is to take the steps in order. That's so important.
Yeah, it just seems like it is. It just seems like, because when you said yesterday about the insight, I was like, well, yeah, I've known that for eons.
Yeah, and it
but
does.
I don't, but now realizing I have tools of writing the letters and all the different things that you talk about, using those tools, I think, will, it's sort of like, even though I don't want to use the word work now because the person who said work has negative connotations, it does. The discovery process is, you know, good work or whatever, and then the release seems to be like it's good work, which leads you to the insight, which is work, and then it seems like the other steps just come.
They do.
Like they they flow into the rest of the steps.
They flow in with each other, because once you get the forgiveness going, the self-love is automatic, and once the self-love goes, then the love of higher self and the connection to spirituality is automatic, and so, yeah, they all flow together, and people who jump into insight and just try to work from insight are on a self-destructive path, because it just
doesn't. Yes, it feels wrong.
It's wrong. It
seems like that's what psychotherapy has been. Like, they've missed the release process. I think maybe because our culture is so hard and angry, you know, we're not allowed to express it the way we should at the time to be able to release it, and we do, you know, swallow it, so to speak. And in a lot of psychotherapy, regardless of what modality of psychotherapy you're doing, they're just, like, right into the insight. Like, you're like, oh, maybe this, and they just go with that. But you still haven't experienced the emotions.
Well, I've seen psychotherapy more of the gestalt type as well, where it's all about release, but there's no transformation after the release. And so people just keep releasing and releasing and releasing the same stuff week after week, year after year.
A little bit ago, you'd said before that sometimes once you're at that point, you just have to take the leap of faith that it's time for insight.
Yeah.
You said something about that, like
yeah,
if you're doing a release process. You could do releasing forever, is what you were
you
saying.
Could.
You could just keep
and
releasing forever, and that's not going to get you anywhere.
And so
it's getting to the insight.
I have a friend involved in primal therapy, and he's still processing for years the forceps they used in his birth. Seriously. He was pulled out of mom with forceps, and he is still processing that, endlessly processing. And, you know, that has value up to a point, but come on, let's move on. You know, there's other issues in your life, too, besides the forceps.
Right, so if you can get to the insight. So I'm saying once you've had some kind of release, it seems like the insight would sort of just come. And that's how you can then get, you know, which will then slide into remorse and flow into forgiveness and self-love.
Exactly. And so these are traps. Endless release is a trap, or having the insight and then beating yourself up because I know I'm doing this to myself, and where's my whip, you know, and let me beat myself up. These are traps.
Endless release and endless insight are traps. I love that.
Yeah, insight and release can be traps if you don't move to the next step.
So that's why once in a while you want to have that leap of faith.
Or just take a chance.
Well, so I mean, yeah, just take a chance that it's time to finish releasing and go on. Because then everything will just flow. It makes so much sense. So just thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
I appreciate
thank
it.
You. I appreciate you sharing. Yeah.
All right. Bye.
Okay,
we have Teresa.
Hi, Richard.
Hi.
I have a question for you, and it goes down to release. As I was looking at, you know, going through the process yesterday and went back to X time and saw where that jumped from, where the issues began. Then I realized, and as you said before, it opened up doors to realize, wait a minute, those same feelings were prior to that, and then prior to that, and then prior to that. So there was a pattern. Okay, right. So where I felt the same issues, the same, you know, now in looking back. Now, here's the thing. The people really aren't that important anymore as the issue that I have felt. The people are inconsequential almost.
Yes.
But when you're doing this release and you're writing an angry letter and maybe you're going to have that meditation where you're going to go back in time, do you need to go and deal with each individual, or can you put them in a group? Or
this is an excellent question, and let me address it.
Okay.
So Teresa, here's what you can look at. You're actually doing a great job. This is fantastic that you're seeing it in this perspective. What you're going to want to do, and this will apply to anybody who's kind of coming up with looking at the big picture here, you're going to say, all right, I have this theme, and this theme has been played out 20 times in my life with people, some of them very important to me, some of them I can't even remember their name anymore, but it's been played out many times. So make a list of all the times that this theme has been played out. And then what you want to do is mark the ones that have the most impact. So come up with the top three, the ones that were the biggest, and then do the complete process on each of those three within that theme. So, all right, there's 20 incidents that happened, or maybe more, but these were the big three. And then do the complete process three times on each of those three, and then you can be done with the resonance of all the rest of them.
Okay, because I was looking at it and thinking to go through each individual
so it would be tedious.
Yeah, okay.
It's too much work, yeah.
Realize it's once you recognize there is a theme and there was an issue of my own, which then insights that I got, but it was how to release it with the individuals or, you know, the situations. Can you just put them in a group or, you know, but I get it. So you get the ones that would probably be the ones that in your life had the most effect.
Yeah.
As far as people are concerned.
Yeah.
And that the others, the resonance from that will take care of the rest?
Absolutely. Yeah. Because the big ones, you know, the ones that had the most impact, that's where it got generated from. Those, and so work on the top three. And that should just handle the rest of them.
Great. Great. That sounds great, because I'm looking at this process as the process that's going to take me to the finish line. I've been doing a lot of work on myself, and I was, I've been in a wheelchair for a long time, and all of a sudden, within this last couple of years, the left leg started to move. The message is moving. I have taken every workshop I have gone to. I've taken myself out of my comfort zone. So I'm looking at this as, you know, this is going to take me to the finish line when this is, you know, the scooter is gone. So because I'm able to walk now.
Wow.
Yeah, medically they say have no explanation. So.
Well, that's always a good one. Yeah. Well, yeah. I see you've been doing all this alternative stuff. Well, we have no explanation. We don't want to have an explanation.
Actually, I do have a very good neurologist, because he does say whatever you're doing, keep doing it. And there's some other issues involved, and he looks at me and he goes, "I have no doubt you're going to take care of those too."
Well,
and this is medical.
Yeah, and does the good neurologist ever say, so which processes have you been doing you think that have had the most impact, and how can I learn about them?
The learning, no, but one of my goals is to offer that.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people that need it, and there's too many diagnoses that people are claiming and owning. So,
You're.
So I'm looking. I'm heading to the finish line. You're just looking at me, and you know, I'll see when I cross it.
You're destined to be an inspiration. So keep going for it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's hear from Shannon.
Hello.
Shannon?
Hi.
Hi.
I have two questions.
Sure.
The first one is on release, and the second one is on remorse.
Okay.
I'm wondering if I'm overcomplicating the release a bit.
Mm-hmm.
The issue that I worked on with my partner came to be that it was frustration from being pushed to do things I didn't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was dealing with that, I was finding that a lot of the anger comes from feeling like there's nothing I can do about the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so when trying to release it, it's like that's hindering the process because I can't seem to get past it, particularly with dealing with technique two, because I just can't believe for a second that the person would want to listen or care.
All right. So let's stop there for a moment. We'll continue on. Just deal with that one point.
Okay.
Yes. So you're dealing with somebody with no compassion or empathy or remorse. And you can't imagine that they ever would because that's how they've been behaving forever.
Right.
So the technique that I found that works really well, I mentioned briefly, but I should go into more detail, is imagine that person. I mean, if you think about that person, you know underneath it all that they do love.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yes, they're acting badly, but underneath it, there is love there. Maybe it's tough love or mean love, but it's love. So what you do is you imagine that shell around them is their behavior and how they're acting. But underneath it, you know this is this loving, beautiful person, but they don't show it to you. So what you do is you imagine that shell around them is cracking like a huge eggshell that's just kind of breaking apart. And when it finally breaks off, underneath is that loving, vulnerable, beautiful person that you love. And that's the person that communicates to you and tells you that they're sorry.
Okay.
That's how you have to do it. Because you're right. I remember I told one friend, I said, okay, now have your mother, you know, tell you that she's sorry and, you know, she understands how much she hurt you. And I said, how'd the meditation go? He says, well, she wouldn't do that. She wouldn't do it. You know, it's like, okay, well, we have to come up with a technique to make that happen because we got to get to that next step, and that's how you can do it. So what else did you want to cover? You want to talk about the insight also?
Well, it's more about the remorse. But,
oh, the remorse, that's right.
Yeah, once you have the insight that, you know, I'm doing this to me.
Right.
And thinking about, you know, the frustration of constantly being pushed and knowing that I'm doing it to me, I kind of stuck with the thing that, I mean, the subject is work-related, and I feel like I can't get away from that because I have to go to work. I have to have the same job right now. And so it feels as if, like, what if you can't say that I won't do this to me again because I have to get up and do this to me every day?
Yeah, but you see, it's the attitude that you take to it.
Right.
It's not the actual work itself. And maybe there'll be some other work to show up that you would enjoy more. I'm sure there is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the attitude that you bring to doing the thing, whether you make yourself feel pushed or whether you make a decision to do it in a way that would be more joyful for you.
Right. Okay.
So, you know, the insight and the remorse, you know, really go hand in hand. And when you have the insight, yes, I've been doing this to me, and I don't have to be pushing myself so hard. I can do things without pushing. I don't have to use so much force
right.
to make things happen. I can do them out of choice. Yes, I don't like this job, but I'm going to choose to do it quickly and effectively, and then I'll find something else I like better.
Right.
You know, I'm going to do it gently. I will use ease and grace and flow to find what's more appropriate for me. But in the meantime, I choose to do this job, even though I don't like it all that much. But I'm not going to force myself to do it. I'm just going to choose to do it and know that it's temporary as I find something more appropriate to myself.
Right, without abusing myself.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's how you can take the remorse and the forgiveness and move into, ah, I've made a new decision. I'm not going to treat myself this way anymore. Even if I'm doing a job I don't like, I'm not going to treat myself this way, and I will allow myself and the universe to help me find something that is more appropriate to who I really am and how I want to be.
Makes perfect sense.
Good.
Thank you.
There you go.
Okay, let's hear from Barry.
Hello.
Hey, Barry.
I got stuck in the middle.
Okay.
The insight and remorse, and long story short, it's kind of a shame issue, not a physical condition. Goes
right
back to my mother and my childhood, and
mm-hmm.
mother dumping the bag of crap and I accepting it, which, you know, the shame and so forth.
Right,
and
right.
Going through all that, and then the insight that I've been doing to myself. But the other part in your notes that really all of a sudden hit me was, and maybe to others. And
yes.
During this last year, my daughter is 18 and a half, and during the last year we've been estranged off and on by her choice, and now
mm-hmm.
we're starting therapy and things. And I realized not only did I kind of accept the bag of crap from my mother
yeah.
and do stuff to myself, I also passed the bag on to my daughter.
Yeah,
and gave her a load, and so at the one point I feel the remorse about dealing with the bag I got. I'm also
right.
feeling tremendous guilt about passing it on to my daughter.
Well, let's try a different strategy. How about at some point when the time comes that you can sit down with her and be honest and say, "Look, I got this bag of crap from my mom, and I am so sorry. I passed it on to you. Can you ever forgive me?"
Yeah, I mean, that's what I would like to do. And we're kind of at that point. She realizes that a lot of stuff went on with my mom and
yeah.
and me and all of that. She's already expressed that my childhood must have not been very fun growing up with my mother and all those things. So she's pretty insightful on that.
You know, every movie is hoping to have that scene where the father apologizes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, it's the classic, iconic scene where dad says, "I'm sorry, I messed
right.
up, I love you." And then there's a reunion and a happy celebration. So, you know.
In Disney film.
It's possible, it happens. And
well, I know.
Except very few people have the self-awareness and the qualities that you're expressing right now to be able to do something like that.
And I have told her I was sorry for hurting her because I
yeah.
know I have some things that have hurt her, but it just hasn't gotten to this level. And I guess part of I'm more interested, I feel guilty, so I'm angry at myself for passing it on. So what's...
Yeah, so here's something about self-anger, which is a very big topic I should probably put in the notes also.
Right.
When you're angry at yourself, and it does happen, and it happens for good reason, you should save the anger for yourself for last. In other words, process the anger of what others did to you first. Put it this way. If you try to deal with self-anger first, it's like you're trying to swallow a pill the size of a large egg. You can't do it. It's too big to swallow. But if you release the anger toward the other people first, then the anger to the self is manageable because then you deal with equal parts self-anger and self-compassion. You have to have equal parts anger and compassion for yourself. But it's too much to deal with if you haven't processed the anger externally first. Then you can deal with it toward yourself with anger and compassion in balance with each other, and then it's tolerable.
Okay, well, that makes sense, because why I got bogged down at this step was because trying to deal with the part with my mother, but then all this was coming up with my daughter, and they were both being processed, you know, I kind of got stuck because I couldn't do them both at the same time.
Exactly. And now you know.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Veronica, did you want to share?
This is Joyce Devin. How are you? Hi.
Good.
Okay. I seem to have gone through, I think I went through to the other side because I went through all the steps, and I came out with the self-love and the hugging, and I felt pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But tapping into the insight was major for me because I began to think about the folk who had hurt me, and I was able to forgive them and say that's called a so what, and I came out feeling okay with that. That's called a so what because they did the best they could do at that time,
mm-hmm.
and of course I'll continue to do this over and over, but I felt love for everybody and
yeah.
for my support, so it was quite good for me. Of course,
mm-hmm.
I'll continue to repeat it and make sure I'm on the other side for real.
Right.
I just wanted to share that.
Well, good, good. It sounds like a really good discovery.
Yeah, I hope that I'm being honest when I say it's called a so what for them.
Well,
and really, indeed, not be angry anymore.
If it's true for you, then that's great. If you're rationalizing, that's not great. But I can't decide what's true for you.
Yeah, I feel that it's true.
Then I agree with you.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you
yeah.
so much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Edith.
Yeah, hello. I just heard what you said to, I think, Barry, because of the self-anger. And I wonder if you have experience working on trust, basic trust, if that will also work with this.
Okay, so you want to work on, you want to know about working with trust.
Yeah. Could you work first trusting others, emotions are
well,
trusting others, and then?
Here's the thing. Many people are not trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
And trusting the wrong person is self-destructive.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be focusing on trusting yourself.
Yeah.
Trusting yourself to know who to trust, for one thing.
Yeah.
Trusting yourself to listen to your emotions. Trusting
mm-hmm.
yourself to pay attention to how you're feeling. Trusting
mm-hmm.
yourself to expressing what needs to be expressed, even if it isn't at the moment, but it's later
mm-hmm.
on when you have the time and the space to do so.
Mm-hmm.
These are the areas of trust I would focus on. I have a friend who was so untrustworthy that I trust myself not to be her friend. And it's
mm-hmm.
very painful for me in my life at this time to say no thank you to our friendship because she was so consistently untrustworthy. So
mm-hmm.
this is my self-trust to say no, I won't trust you anymore because it's been too many times. It's gone on too long, and you're not learning, you know, that behavior is painful and hurtful.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just how it goes sometimes. But you need to trust yourself. That's really where trust is most important. Then if you trust yourself, you can make better decisions about trusting other people.
Mm-hmm. And do you think with this work also helps with this, to release the emotion what's behind?
Okay, I didn't quite understand what you said. Do I think what?
To release the emotions which is behind the
yes,
yes.
Trust. Yeah, you've got to release those emotions. That's crucial. And
mm-hmm.
and take things all the way through to the process as far as you can.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, so I'll try this, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Yes. So, we have any more? Okay, so, Devin, why don't you write down the names of the people who have wanted to be contacted later, and we can erase those, number five.
Okay.
And then we'll call on the people who still want to talk. So, anybody else want to chat about the process and what, you know, what you're learning, where you're stuck, what you want to know, questions, whatever you have, because it's all open-ended at this point.
Okay, well, we have Kathleen.
Yes, I have a few questions that
sure.
I'm wanting after hearing everybody talk. I've gotten through the first three steps, and I found that writing that letter was very time-consuming.
Oh, it is.
And yeah, and that took a lot of the time. And I had started a letter a few months ago, and so I got that letter out, and I added to it. And if I recall correctly, this said to bring the letter out again a third day and then burn it.
Yeah.
So some people are saying that they're done with the process, but it hasn't been the third day. Do we need
well,
to go
you don't
through?
Have to. If you do the letter, it's going to take a few days because you got to
uh-huh.
hide the letter and burn it.
Right.
I had one friend who wrote this amazing letter. I said, well, did you burn it? He goes, hell no. I put a lot of work into that letter.
Yeah, I can understand that because I was thinking I was going to make a copy but still burn another one.
Oh,
so
let's keep
that feeling.
Yeah, let's keep it somewhere. I really want the unless you plan to publish it or something.
Yeah, right.
I would suggest you burn it because
right.
you want to go because you have a lot of see it's a ritual.
It's
you
a
have
symbol.
A lot. It's a symbol. You have a lot invested in that story. You
right.
have your all that emotion, all that time, all that energy, and you really put a lot of work into that letter. And
mm-hmm.
so that letter has a lot invested in it. And when your subconscious sees you burn it, it goes, wait a second. You
yeah.
mean you want to let it go?
And that's why I think those 3 days is good. And so that's
it's great.
Why I was wondering, if you go through the whole process and you got results, do you still need to go through the 3 days with the letter and then burn it?
Well, if you've already done the forgiveness, yeah, we might as well burn the letter at that point.
Okay.
But sure. But, you know, a lot of people just said, the heck with the letter, let me just do the other release process for the anger and such,
mm-hmm.
and did that one and just went straight through the process that way. That's fine. You
okay.
see, there's no timeline on this stuff, but definitely if you put that much work into the letter, you know, make a deep decision and be done with it.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Another question was, I've heard that some people have cried during the process of release.
Yeah, sure.
And if you don't, does that sort of mean you didn't feel your intensity enough? You did what you
Not,
could at that time?
No. Some people are criers. Some people
uh-huh.
just cry a lot, and some people don't. You know,
okay.
the main thing is, when you're releasing the anger, do you sweat? Do you feel like your body's clenching up and you're feeling maximum intensity, or is it kind of casual? If it's casual, you're not doing a real good job. If your body's clenching up and you feel your stomach and you're maybe sweating and you're feeling emotion to the extreme extent, that's good. If
okay,
you feel
whether it's crying or not.
It doesn't matter what.
Right.
As
okay.
long as you're feeling deeply and profoundly, you're doing a great job. If you're not feeling deeply and profoundly, you're just walking through the woods. You're not really mm-hmm. doing the work.
On the processing the hurt, it was very difficult. I could only do the 10 minutes of that. I was
yeah.
then continuously rehashing all the hurt over and over
yeah.
To just get some time. So because I couldn't get to the whole 20, should I go through back more of the process again?
Well, here's what to check out. How do you feel? If you feel like that hurt still keeps wanting to come up and more and more, try forcing yourself. And that's the whole point of the exercise, is to
mm-hmm.
force yourself
right.
to do all 20. Oh, it hurts. I don't want to go anymore. No. That's perfect. That's the way it should feel after 10 minutes.
Okay.
And then you just force yourself to do all 20 and then just be done with it and take a break. Get that massage or lay
right.
in the sun or whatever it is. And oh, God, I feel so good. I dropped it. And that's how you want to feel, because it's supposed to be tough. That 20 minutes is one of the toughest 20 minutes you'll spend.
Okay. So maybe it sounds like I need to go back and do a little bit more on that, because
I think that could help.
As I could, but I only could get the 10. Now, giving the crap back was really easy.
Yeah.
That was really easy, and I felt liberated doing that with no fear and just doing that. That was good. When I got to the part with the guilt, you said the guilt goes to the anger. Does that mean that I go back and do a letter on the guilt?
Well, you don't have to do a letter on guilt. What you want to do is you want to transform the guilt into its native form of anger. And then you don't have to do the letter. You can do the other emotional process where you're talking to the person and releasing all the intensity like I talked about in all those steps.
Okay.
And you can just go that route. Or you can do the letter if you want to take a few days at it and be more leisurely the way you go about it. They're both working fine. The main thing is you just do it honestly with intensity.
Intensity, yeah.
Yeah, that's the main thing.
And if you've pushed your feelings down so long for so many years, I think it would take a few processes to get that intensity back up.
It can. It can, but, you know, congratulations on being willing to explore that level of reality. Because most people just, you know, are the walking dead. They don't let themselves feel the intensity, and they just live comfortably in a silent suffering.
And you were talking about your friend with the environmental allergies, and I was just curious, when he did that, did he write a letter to Dear Allergies? No.
No, what he did was he figured out that the allergies had to do with the situation involving his mother primarily, and the way she was stifling him, and relationships that he had had in his life where he felt stifled. And
so that's where you bring out the discovery.
Yeah, and how he was stifling himself. And so that's the process he did. But every time the allergies came back, he found a different way that that theme was expressing itself again. And so he had to go into that theme, process it, and he kept discovering new aspects of that theme each time he approached it again.
Right, and that's what I think I'm finding, is that this is not just a one-shot deal.
Yes.
Necessarily, that it's just going to be maybe the top one, and there's other aspects, and that as those things crop up or I catch them, then I can go through the process with it, and each time it will get easier, and I'll find results.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you very much for answering those.
You're so welcome.
Hey, let's hear from Annabelle.
Hi. Oh, hearing everybody else talk about, especially the release phase, my main issue was shame. So I went through, I mean, I had just so much like layers of shame that I'd never dealt with before. So that part was pretty, it was pretty straightforward, although a lot of people, new insights came up while I was doing that. And then I worked on some anger, like dealing with experiences of anger that I had at that time that I didn't actually express, and I didn't, you know, I didn't keep people from treating me badly. And it was like at key points. It wasn't like at one specific time with the issue that I was dealing with specifically, but it was like really charged points in time.
Yeah.
And I have to admit, I'm really goal-oriented. So when I sat down to do this, I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. So I'm going to do it the whole way through. So I'm kind of maybe a little bit confused. Like, I'm wondering if you're supposed to go through all of the emotions and all of the different steps, or if, like, just picking out, like, the key emotions and working with those. Because I did actually have a little bit of guilt come up because, like, what Barry was talking about with his daughter, I kind of had that same feeling. But when I got through the whole process, you know, I felt like, you know, there's probably still more emotions there. And, you know, there's a lot more that you could probably be releasing. But, you know, once I got through, I just felt like, you know, I can always go back and do it again.
Yeah.
And I always have that.
Exactly. And so, look, let's not try to be perfect in this process. Just take a big chunk, work on it, and see where you are, and then reevaluate. I mean, we don't get directions on how to drive from here to there by writing down how many times, how far left you turned and how far right you turned, and trying to come up with a memory of how to move the steering wheel. We kind of play it by ear. We, you know, turn a little more this way, turn a little more that way. So try it different ways. Try to take a big chunk, process it, see how you feel. Are there leftover pieces? Do you feel you didn't go deep enough? And you've got it. It's just a matter of continuing to do the process as needed. And if you're feeling great, good, move on. Have a wonderful life. And then when things come up again, aha, I've got to do this process again.
Yeah, that's where I feel like I'm at right now, is I'm really excited to just go out and feel happy and feel great and
do
and
it.
Know that.
Yeah.
And that if something comes up, I can just go back, you know, back into the release or back even into this discovery and,
yeah, of course,
you know, go through the process again and just go straight through and just
exactly
come back out on the other side every time.
Ideally, you'll never need this process again. That would be the highest possibility. But when things come up and it does, then say, all right, let's do the discovery, find out what this is really about, and then the release and so forth, and you have it down. And what's really excellent, that I think I really love about the process, is you always know where you are. You have this map, and you can use the map freely, wherever you are.
Yeah, I'm just kind of at a point where I just feel like I'm going to accept whatever comes up, in that I know that, you know, I don't have to bury things, I don't have to push things aside, and that I have an exact way of sort of transforming those blocked energies into that sort of really profound, perfect state of self-acceptance and self-love, and, you know, because it just feels really extraordinary. It's amazing, and I want to continue to feel that. And so, I mean, there's a little bit of trepidation that the feeling will go away, but I know that I can go back, and I'm glad that I went through, and I didn't get stuck. But
yeah, I think it's fabulous that you did that, and that you're just wanting to go have fun now, and I think that's ideal that you do. And
yeah, that's how I feel.
Yeah, then run with it. You know, you don't have to keep processing everything just because you can. Process it as needed.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, that's all the hands I see, unless anybody else
right. So
wants to ask.
This is your time, because this is how the process works. I give you all the information, and then we wrestle with it and play with it and talk about it so that you own it. All right, we have somebody else. Hand up.
Okay, Pauline.
Hi, you can hear me?
Yes, I can.
Mm-hmm. Okay. When I was working through my process, what I found is I think I needed a more structured approach to it. And I was kind of, from listening to everybody here, I was kind of thinking that maybe there's a few people out here too that this might be useful for. And this was more a tool for myself. But for myself, I found that I couldn't pinpoint the events where the emotions kind of came up. And so what I've kind of thought is I would create myself a timeline of the specific events kind of thing that or specific times or memories that I remember through, you know, from my childhood maybe to now, and put them kind of on a timeline, and then look at them individually then through that, the process that you've set out. What I found for myself is that I can only remember like a picture of something that has happened, but I can't remember the emotion that went with it. And so I think I need to dig deeper into
the event
itself. And I think if you hard to think of specific things on the time, but I think if you lay them out, and then you can go back and deal with the ones that you want to kind of deal with, or the ones that are more important, and then maybe deal with the other ones later or something.
Yeah,
but
take prioritize. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, prioritize. Yeah, yeah. Because what I found is I can't quite figure out the emotion that's attached to why I'm thinking about that event. So I know it's there, but it's buried.
You know,
go ahead.
A lot of times it's really helpful to work with another person, because they'll help you access things that you may have difficulty accessing yourself. They'll help you find what the real issue is on the discovery part of the process, and just help you get that clarity. Because when you have the clarity of what you want to process, it can be a lot smoother.
Oh, I see. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's hear from Veronica.
Okay. Yeah, it's me. Okay. So, my thing has always been not wanting to share or communicate my inner feelings or emotions to others.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole experience is way out of my comfort zone, but it's in a good way.
Yes.
I was talking yesterday and listening to you, Richard, talk about the four pillars of self-esteem. And having lost my mom at an early age, I think that for years I just developed this anger and resentment for dealing with people, and always feel that I can't trust people. They're always criticizing,
yeah,
and they're judging, and, you know, I'm not all that smart and blah, 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 blah. And I could see it in so many different parts of my life, but also in my business right now, where I tend to succumb to lack and fear. And so last night I did not do the exercise. I did purchase Quantum 2.0.
Yeah.
And I started reading some of that last night until I fell asleep. But this morning I decided to do the exercise, and I did the one for 20 minutes where I was connected with my inner child.
Yeah.
And I looked in her eyes. I set the timer for 20 minutes, and I looked into her eyes, and, you know, we were communicating, and I really got in touch with how I was, all the things that I was saying that people were doing to me all these years, I was really doing to myself.
Right.
And I was doing that to that inner child. And so I realized that she was in so much pain. I welled up a few times. I became a little tearful, but it wasn't like boo-hoo, boo-hoo tears.
Right.
But I really felt love for her. I felt pity. I felt sadness. I felt so much pain that she had been through.
Right.
And right now I'm a little nervous and a little teary right now. But after the exercise, before the exercise ended, I was saying to her that I love her, and she was telling me that she loved me and forgive me, and we kept going back and forth with that
mm-hmm.
until the time went out. And then afterwards, I know you said to do something good for yourself for an hour. Now, I have to go to a birthday party this evening, and the first thing that came to my mind while I was thinking, well, maybe I should go prepare a dish for the party. But then I said, but that's not really doing something for myself. So I was struggling with whether it was too selfish, whether I'm not being good enough or nice enough, or the person will not approve that I didn't prepare something. But what I decided to do was run the tub, and I got into my Ben Ultra, and I sat there for an hour and just enjoy the soothing, relaxing bath with mm-hmm. me and my child together as one.
Yeah. Beautiful.
And I don't care if I was being selfish. I don't, you know, but at the same time, I don't want to be so hard and I don't want to give love to others as well. So
right.
I just share that with you because this is way out of my comfort zone, and I was debating whether or not I should share or not, but this is huge for me. So I just wanted to.
That's fantastic. Yeah, you really want to stay with the process, and you're doing good. Just keep going, and be clear that releasing the hurt is the 20-minute process, and there's, you know, the process is the anger. I just want you to be clear on which processes you're talking about, because it sounds like you're getting a little bit mixing them together, which is okay, but you want to just keep working with this, because it sounds like you're doing really good work.
It's a whole lot of stuff I know that's in my head, and a part of it is not really sharing with others how I feel inside. I'm always
yeah.
the person who everything is fine with me. I will take care of you, but deep inside, I'm hurting, and I realize
yeah.
I'm pushing myself further and further and further down and not taking care of that child inside me.
Well,
so,
I'm so glad you're starting to take care of you, because that's really what matters. Because then you'll really be able to take care of other people when you finally can take care of yourself.
Exactly. And when
yeah.
you were saying earlier about trust yourself,
yeah.
you know, I'm always looking for approval and trust from other people.
Right.
And then I finally realized, you know, I can't trust that person. And why do I have to feel I'm a bad person because I don't trust him or her? But I
exactly.
realized because I don't trust myself enough, and that's where I need to focus.
Very good.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Richard.
Beth.
You too.
Oh, thanks.
Okay, we have Carrie.
Hi.
Hi.
Richard, I'm wondering if you can talk more about fear. So last night I went through the whole process and I came out the other side, and in doing all that, I realized that this condition that I'm working with
mm-hmm.
has become a place where I have sourced my safety. And so right now, as I'm sort of contemplating and looking at moving out of this condition, there's so much fear sitting here that I will, you know, I will lose this safety zone. So I don't know what to do now.
Well, sometimes it really helps to just break down the fears a little bit. Sometimes, by the way, fear can become self-perpetuating. Just because you start feeling fear, you can feel more fear. The fear will draw more fear to itself. But you can also start coming up with, you know, a little bit of logic, a little bit of plans, and say, well, what would I do if these things happen? How would I handle that? How would I handle this? Come up with plan B. Come up with plan C. Put them in a drawer. Don't have to read them all the time, but know that you could be okay. Even if the very worst happened, you'd be okay. That's an important step. Once you have identified your fears, you know what you could do in the fears, then to the best of your extent, you can either turn the fear into a different emotion and say, look, I'm afraid of this because I'm anticipating that I'm going to be angry in the future. Where's that coming from? And process the anger, right? Or I'm afraid mm-hmm. that I would be really hurt in the future. Process the anticipation of hurt. Why would you be anticipating that? Well, because it's happened before. Process that. Process what's happened. And then realize that, you know, this is not something, you don't have to live in that vibration. This doesn't have to be it. Make some decisions that you can move despite fear, because isn't that the definition of courage? That you move despite fear. Because
mm-hmm.
If you weren't afraid, it wouldn't be courage, right?
Right.
So it's only courage because you're afraid. And then can move.
Right. Yeah, I felt as I was doing the, you know, writing the fear out and defining it and coming up with the plan B, I felt like I was playing a game that I wasn't actually buying. I felt like it wasn't hitting, like, truth in that.
Yeah, right.
Trying to trick myself.
Yeah. Okay. But it isn't really a trick, is it? Because you're saying, you know, I've had a few times in my life where I'd had to write down my plan B or even C.
Mm-hmm.
And actually it was about 5 years ago we were wondering if Quantum Touch was going to survive. And we were coming up with plan B and C. We didn't like doing that, but we did because it helped us move through the fear.
Okay.
And so you do it to say, all right, we get the fear out of the way, now we can act. Now we can start taking some responsible action to change everything around, to make it so that we can function appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, because fear paralyzes and stops
right.
action. So what you
Absolutely.
Need to do is you need to move out of the fear vibration as effectively as you can so that it doesn't stop. Anxiety is the worst. Anxiety is where you have that free-floating emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And with anxiety, you need to break it down into what it really is. And sometimes that's very hard to find the fear or the anger or even the sadness that is underneath that anxiety. And that's much more challenging, but it needs to be done.
Right. Yeah, I can see how the fear just brought up a whole new series of why was I not safe, and a whole new series of things to go back into.
Exactly,
and then to start processing.
And then realize that, you know, 90-odd% of the fears that you've ever had never happened.
Right.
You know, it's like most fears that we ever feel are never going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't happened, they're not going to happen, but we spend a lot of time, you know, letting them impact us in the moment.
And they're all based in something. They're based
yeah.
in something that we haven't moved beyond yet.
Exactly.
And so I think I have yet to start over from ground zero and find where these fears are based.
Exactly, because the process of the self-discovery is so valuable, you're going to learn so much about yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Okay, let's hear from Julie.
Yes, hi. I just wanted a little clarity. I know you've alluded to this, Richard, already, but when to use this... I know you said you're figuring it out with Quantum Touch. I'm a couple of hours of practice away from becoming a practitioner,
okay,
and I'm a life coach, and I'm excited to see the blend of all of that, and I've loved the practice hours, and I've had so much fun and seen great results, and, you know, so here I am, you know, and then I'm
mm-hmm.
learning this, which
yeah.
is amazing, and so I'm just thinking about, you know, here comes Joe with a bad back, I've also read The New Human, and I know Quantum Touch, too, so it's
right.
it's all just keeps increasing in effectiveness, I feel like, in power and understanding. So I guess just, and I get that probably it's just going to be my intuition and see what's working, but I didn't know if you had anything else to just add to that on when you would use this, I guess.
I think that I'm as interested in your insights as you are in mine at this point.
Okay.
Because I think that there's a natural blending of
mm-hmm.
QT2 with self-created health and the basic mm-hmm. Quantum Touch.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times it happens spontaneously, but I haven't been taking enough
mm-hmm.
notes to write down all the stuff that's there that should be examined.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I need to hear from a lot of people what they're discovering, and then see if I can come up with any additional insights and discoveries that I can make along those lines. But I'm really interested in the blending, and I don't know where to put that information, whether to put it in the QT2 book or the self-created health book or maybe a different book.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do with it, but maybe I'll have a class someday or a retreat or something where we can all kind of explore the stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's good too, because I mean, my own inner voice, as I was even thinking about this question earlier today, has just been like, gosh, just have fun with this, you know, and don't make it too complicated, and enjoy being with people, enjoy being in those moments with them, and just, you know, take what you know and trust that
it's going to work.
You know,
all these steps work, all these processes work, and so use them, but please take notes of your insights and discoveries and pass them on to us, because I really want to know what you're learning.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we have one more hand raised. Rebecca?
Hi again.
Hi.
As I'm learning and processing all of this and practicing, I am constantly amazed about all of this important awareness. I am really concerned for the urgency to get to children.
Yes.
And I don't know how this is going to look or what kind of workshops that could be developed for parents, but this all starts in childhood when we're helpless and we don't have the physical brain growth and we don't have the models, because everybody's wounded that's around us, and then we get wounded. So can we start the conversation about what the possibilities are to be able to do something at a younger age?
Of course. But you realize that we really have to start with the parents. Because the parents who are going to be raising these children are going to be dumping all their crap on the kids automatically.
Right.
Unless they've processed the emotion. And so that's the place of greatest leverage, because you can't communicate to them till they're already wounded, right?
Right.
You can't communicate to the kids till they're already pretty wounded. And so if we can get to the parents and heal their wounding, they're not going to have to pass the shame on and the bad behaviors onto the kids, and the kids will have a higher level of freedom and joy automatically and an interest in these sorts of things. But right now we live in a world where only a small fraction of people are even interested in their growth.
Right.
And that's kind of a scary situation, considering
it is scary.
You know, the ecological state of the world and all.
And at that age, when they are beginning to have children, they're so busy with so many responsibilities that they forget themselves. And then it gets all dumped on the children.
Exactly.
I have a heavy heart with that. I know.
Well, you see, here's the good news, that your passion and your desires can motivate you to take that inspiration and bring it into the world in profound ways. And to use the QT2 in envisioning the world you want to live in, and use the self-created health to clear the space emotionally to allow that to manifest, to take all your tools and use them appropriately, and then invent new ones. Because what I've done essentially is to set you free, to have tools that you can use freely.
Gotcha. And then trust that it'll show up, and then you go from there.
Yeah, and follow the whispers of the reality that are showing you new opportunities.
Yeah. Okay. I want to do it all in one day, but that's
not
feasible.
That's an inspiring idea. I like that. That's exciting.
Gotcha. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Manjushi, go ahead.
Yeah, I had a question, Richard, about the process itself.
I think the one thing that keeps coming up is impatience. And I was kind of reflecting on the idea that the caller prior to me said that you want to do it in one day. But it's, you know, it still can be frustrating because now, like, so many things are opening up and you can see all these things come up there. Now I have to do this work and this. It's just like, reminds me of the time in my life where, you know, it is one of those things like, you know, you press, it's a toy game where you press one and the other pops up and you press the other and the toy game pops up. And you just like, you know, there's a lot of frustration around that part too where you're like, okay, when am I going to get done? And the acceptance that you never get done. And
well, you never get done, but you make progress. You know, there's ultimately, in my opinion, there is more to do in this lifetime than we can ever do. But it doesn't mean that you don't make a lot of progress in the process of doing it. You just do what you can, and the progress is made that your life has more joy, more love, more ease, more fun, more happiness, more satisfaction. That's the indicator. The indicator of growth is that you're experiencing a lot more ease and flow. Now, yes, you're not done, but would you want to be? I don't think so. When there's the possibility of continuing to heal more and more and having life get better and better and better, why would you want to be done?
I guess it feels like there's like this point where you just kind of jump off or take off and you're kind of more freer to do whatever you want. And
You are, which kind of brings up a topic that I think I might have, I've covered in other workshops and I really want to bring up for a moment, is just an overview of the ego and negative ego issues. A healthy ego operates by being a communication from the inner to the outer. The inner, you know, the communication says, a brick is heading toward your head, you better duck. Oh, good idea, duck. The brick misses you. That's healthy ego. The negative ego operates with better than, less than, self-pity or self-importance. So you're at a party and somebody spills wine on the tablecloth. The healthy ego says, well, let's get a towel and clean it up. The negative ego says, they're trying to ruin my party. They makes up a story, a better than or less than story. When you realize that our happiness depends on not allowing the negative ego to operate in our reality, that when you recognize that the judgments of better than or less than, of self-pity or self-importance, or the combination of self-pity and self-importance, poor me, I'm the most important person and no one appreciates that, which is both self-pity and self-importance in one sentence. As you let go of those, you can actually be happy. But it's very important to recognize when you see it in yourself and other people, when the self-pity or self-importance comes up, because that's the operation of the negative ego. And that's really what causes most of the pain and destruction in our life, is when we give into that negative ego aspect of ourself.
So how do you learn to identify it? It just, I mean,
You recognize it. You start recognizing it. So if you hear yourself starting to feel you're into the vibration of self-pity, the overt self-pity or the unappreciated, misunderstood, unfairly treated, and so forth on the list that is in the class notes, you recognize, oh, martyr alert, I'm doing that, you know, let me stop. Let me find out what I'm really feeling emotionally. Hey, I'm pissed off, how about that? Or I'm hurt. Let me express that at least to myself, if not to somebody else, and get out of this vibration of self-pity and self-importance. And if we can do that, then life becomes quite a whole lot better.
I had another question, just kind of unrelated, just because there's been a lot of talk about it. I'm doing the basic online training for QT, and I just ordered your QT2 new human book. But could you talk a little bit about this QT2, what it is, and, you know, the book or something like that?
I'll do it very briefly, but this isn't a class on QT2, so bear with me, those who aren't really up, you know, that's not your main interest. But what we're doing, and it's sort of our tagline for it, we are redefining what's possible, and we're actually expanding what it means to be a human being by learning how to move energy and do things that we've never imagined that human beings could do before. You can work on multiple conditions simultaneously, multiple people simultaneously, work across time and space. You can work on helping people shift old emotional patterns. You can do things we never even knew we could do, like work inside people's brains, and much, much more. As Chris, who's on the call, one of my co-writers, has put it, he says, it's as if I've discovered a new human operating system, and now we're discovering all the apps. So what it does is it empowers the basic quantum touch. And for those people just learning QT2, I really encourage you to learn the basic quantum touch, because it really empowers QT2, just like QT2 empowers the basic. And a lot of times, and Chris, I think we should add this on the next printing, that for people who know QT1 and combine it with QT2, it really allows you to do longer sessions when necessary, because it's really hard to stay focused for an hour doing QT2. But if you have your hands on somebody, you don't have to be doing QT2 every second. You can be doing a combination and get a lot more done that way, because it gives you more patience when your hand is on someone, when you have your hands there. So
it's all about healing others.
It's also about healing yourself too. It's new human abilities for healing, but you can heal the past. You can work in all kinds of ways we never anticipated. So anyway, I didn't want to take the class time to cover that, but that's an overview.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, let's hear from Teresa.
Yeah, hi, Richard, again. I identify with the person that called earlier wanting to work with children.
Yes.
I expressed to you earlier that I want to open, by the way, by the end, probably in about 3 or 4 weeks, I would have met all the requirements for both practitioner and instructor.
Wow.
Plus, I'm taking a QT2 in May.
Awesome.
So, yeah. And I want to, you know, I want to work with people that were diagnosed with what I was diagnosed with. But in my heart, and this is really what propelled me to go into QT, is the children. And right now, including my own little grandson, there's a lot of children with, you know, on the autism spectrum.
Yes.
So I understand that we can't really do self-creative health with the younger children, you know, through the process. We can do it with the parents.
Exactly.
Now, that is, as a matter of fact, one of the things I have in my mind is to open to teach QT1 to the, you know, to mothers. That's one of the first things I want to do when I first become an instructor, whenever I feel that I'm ready to do that. Now, here's my question and my asking for help, because you're asking, you know, how it connects, the connection between the self-created health and what you're expressing, the QT2, which I haven't taken yet, but I did start reading the book. It's very connected. It's very connected,
yes,
because you're going to an emotion, you know, to be able to deal with the emotions. I'm very excited to see how I can work inside of the children's brain. They don't have to know at that point.
No, they don't.
You go to the QT2. Here's my request. Is it possible, because I know there's so many children on the spectrum, and I'm sure I'm not the only one with a heart for it, you know, is there any way that
there can be a connection of those people that are working with the children to kind of give ideas. And by the way, there may be a book in this at a later time. I really
Here's what I suggest. Write a blog article about your interest, and we'll publish it, and we'll connect you with other people who want to work in those arenas, and you guys can, and you can also get on the message board and invite other people with similar interests to be connected with you on this one. Now, I don't remember if I had mentioned this in the call, but years ago, when I was working with a spiritual teacher named Lazarus, Lazarus was working with a couple, and the couple had given birth to a child with autism.
Yes, you mentioned that yesterday.
Yeah, okay, good. And so as the parents healed themselves, the child was able to be well. Now, I have heard one story of a group of people sending energy into a child with autism who's now back in school, and he's 9 years old now. Now, what's happening is the number of autism cases seems to be tripling every 10 years, and it's been going on for like 30 years now. And that's, mm-hmm. I think, because of the mercury vaccinations, could be a lot of other environmental factors, possibly including GMO foods, chemtrails, and who knows what all, and all the toxins in the reality. But this is not a normal state. Now we have one out of 88 children who has autism, and I think it's criminal that this mm-hmm. is being allowed to continue. It's not normal. It should be, you know, 1 in 25,000 or 1 in 250,000, as it used to be. And so dealing with the toxicity of the environment is probably another issue that I don't cover in this work, but it's important that people eat real foods and stop eating all that processed stuff, because it's poison, essentially. And but, you know, we're living in a very difficult time when people don't have the right information and they're being misguided. Wow, are you hearing that loud noise I'm hearing on my phone?
Yes.
Well,
yes, I am.
Okay, well, just stop. So hopefully it won't come back again.
And by the way, I do want to say, and since I went to my first QT1 workshop,
right.
I have been working with my grandson, and we have seen great improvements in his behavior. It's not perfect by any means,
right.
but we have seen improvement. That's why it's very encouraging to continue and to be connected with others, because the whole goal here, as you say, comes from love.
Yes.
And there's a lot of love to give to a lot of children. See, there I get the emotion coming up, that need it, and their parents, because it is not only the child, but the family. And that's where the self-created health can come in for the parents, but then the other
mm-hmm.
to the child who doesn't need to know what's going on, you know.
Yes, and you can also, with the level two, talk to the child and explain to them energetically inside their brain and through all their chakras too
mm-hmm.
that it's a choice, that they have a choice to be cognizant. They don't have to be this way if they don't want to be, that it's a choice. It's not like you make them wrong. It's just a choice that they can grow and they can improve and they can have a richer life if they want it, or a different life anyway.
As a matter of fact, after I'm done when doing, because I seem to be focusing on his head every time he comes. It just, my hands will not leave the head. And he actually will move the head to a position, usually the same position. Mm-hmm. But I always, at the end, I always tell him, even though, you know, kind of like an EFT, which I haven't learned, but think that would also be effective with children. It's, you know, even though I was very angry, and even though I get angry, even though I get sad, I'm still, and now he finishes, I'm still a great kid, you know.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot to do. And that's, for me, QT connected to it immediately. So it's like, I just want to be a sponge and be together with others who can share their own experiences so that we can all go out there and you know, be an army.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, that's, we're counting on you. We need it. We need everybody to do what they can. There's so much to do out there.
So the so if you write, I don't even, I've never written a blog, but something so that we can connect, like the other caller that was interested in working with children. And
yeah, just write a story about what you're working on and the results that you're seeing and how you want to connect with other people. And we can publish it. We have a, you know, a blog that we put out regularly, and we can just add articles to it that people write.
Okay.
And we can edit it too and clean it up if it needs it.
Good. Good. I was a math teacher. My thing is math, so
I understand. Yeah, that's great.
Okay, that's great. Thank you very much. I think there's a lot of healing that you know, through this work can go out into the world from us. So
certainly so. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we have Malcolm.
How are you guys doing this evening?
Good. How are you today?
I'm pretty good. It was something that came to mind to me when she was talking about, like, the work with children. We were talking about, like, themes and things. And I have, like, the Quantum Touch 2 book.
Yeah.
I'm planning to one of the workshops later this year because
excellent.
I read the Quantum Touch 1 book a while ago, and then I was able to go to one of the workshops, and it gave me something completely different.
Uh-huh.
But as far as, like, the autism thing with the kids, I think that we're going to find that just like there's a theme that more kids are getting autism, there's going to be an emotional theme that we'll be able to work with all children on. About that type of thing, we just
that's
have to
a
find
fascinating
out,
that's a fascinating idea.
Like what that is going to be.
Well, I think, you know, if you look at what autism is, on some level, they're not here, are they? Or they're hiding away. And I think that, on some level, you know, I think as the world is getting more and more crazy. And people are getting less and less connected to themselves. I mean, if I had some of the parents that are out there now, I'd want to be autistic.
That's an interesting statement. I mean, the real question I had was, like, what are your thoughts on, like, permission, about, like, giving yourself permission to experience things or... I'm just curious on your thoughts about that.
I'm a big believer in giving yourself permission, and I'm a big believer in working on other people for the highest good. So in other words, if I wanted to work on an autistic child and no one knows I'm doing it, I would just ask, if this is for the highest good, I want to send energy to this child's brain for any healing that's possible, right? So I would give myself permission and just start doing the work by making sure that I'm only doing it, you know, for the highest outcome and not just for my own ego satisfaction.
Okay. And if the negative ego thing, is that like a, I'm imagining that's like a, just a very kind of sticky subject. Because, like, hearing you talk about it, I have difficulty understanding where, like, the balance is between just being, like, secure in yourself and it slipping into
having... Secure in yourself is great. Having fun is great. When you're not having fun and you feel that you're being sucked into this endless unhappy place of self-pity or having to judge other people and being, you know, being self-important. I'll tell you a fun little story I did years ago. I had a group of people I was giving a talk to, and I said, all right, let's write our secret better than on a piece of paper. Please don't put your name on it. And so, you know, whether you're feeling, you know, more spiritual, more loving, more intelligent, more this or that, whatever, more handsome, or whatever the words are. People wrote their little statements down, their secret better than, on a piece of paper. And then I collected them all in a wastebasket, which was symbolic. And then I did something terrible, in a funny way. I read everybody's statements anonymously. And then we laughed at every one of the statements. Because how loving is it to feel that you're the most loving person? Well, that's not loving at all. How sensitive is it to think everybody's less sensitive to you? It's not sensitive. How intelligent is it to think everybody's less intelligent? How caring is it to think everybody's less caring? And so forth. And what it meant was that all the negative ego statements that people were putting out, they were losing that quality that they really did have. You see, the person who thinks that they're the most intelligent is probably a very intelligent person, except for that one statement. The people who feel that they're incredibly sensitive or loving or whatever it is, are. They really do have those qualities, but when they give it to their negative ego, they lose that quality. So the sensitive person is no longer sensitive, the caring person is no longer caring. And so when we move into those vibrations of better than or self-pity, poor me, or the unappreciated, misunderstood, overburdened, you know, unfairly treated vibration, angry at God, when we move into either of those vibrations, that's when we stop our flow. That's when life gets really tough. That's when things aren't working for us anymore. And that's what will take us out of our comfortable, self-confident, effective life that you were just talking about. That's what takes us out of it. So for some people, they don't go there very often. They don't have big problems with negative ego. For other people, they live there, and that's home. They live in that vibration of that suffering.
Okay.
Okay, I don't see any more hands up. Does anybody else want to talk to Richard? Or have any insights of their own? Go ahead, Richard.
I'm kind of waiting to see who else would like to join in the conversation. This is great. If anybody wants to continue the conversation, this is what it's here for. I think we got a hand up.
Okay, Patricia.
I just wanted to put my two cents in regarding working with children. I think one of the biggest reasons I'm getting into this is because of my grandson. I have three grandsons, but one has been diagnosed with OCD,
mm-hmm.
and he's been seeing a therapist, and it's not helping.
Yeah.
His mother is so frustrated. And we saw signs of it long ago when he was maybe a year and a half old. And so we know that it's probably in the DNA in the family on the father's side. And I'm just so concerned that the father is oblivious and probably won't want to do the work. I mean,
yeah.
Maybe a while before he wakes up.
Right.
So I'm just so concerned about what to do for the child, and I really appreciated the comments about, you know, defending love to him for his highest good.
Yeah.
And I would love to join the blog because if there's some other ideas, and if there's any way to work around the parents, so it would be great. You know, to where you heal this child and then the parents wake up.
It's, you know, these are what I call soul choices. Soul comes in and says, okay, this is what I'm going to work with in this lifetime. And I really don't have any good answers for you right now, but except to take all the tools that we know perhaps if you take the issue of how you feel, because here's this beautiful little child with OCD, and you process what you can process within yourself, because he is part of your reality. So heal the part of yourself that is generating that reality. That's taking a huge chunk of responsibility most people won't even consider as being possible. But it's worth a try. How does it make you feel that there's this beautiful child and you can't do anything, you know, that he has this OCD and you want to help? How does it feel to be out of control that way and to care that much that you can't help? That's a big chunk of emotion there. And maybe there's some healing you can do on yourself and then send him love and healing, and maybe that will impact it. The truth is that I'm just a guy who's figuring stuff out and hoping that we can come up with more answers, because I don't have, you know, answers beyond what I can figure out myself. But I'm always kind of looking to see what else can we do, what else is possible. And here's another one of those situations where I'm thinking, I wonder if, you know, taking a higher level of responsibility within yourself is going to impact his situation. And I say the answer to that question is I don't know, but it's probably worth a try.
I will contemplate that. Right now it blows my mind to think that there's a part of myself that's creating it, but I understand that he is part of my reality, so I can change that.
So do whatever healing you can do on yourself always. And I'm working on some of these processes like that too. And I'm also exploring the ideas, and I'm not very far along on it. You know, it's like a book, two or three books down the road. But I'm looking at, can I come up with processes to help heal the external reality around me? And so that's one of the questions I've been asking myself, to see if I can come up with ways of coming up with working with processes to heal things that are outside of my sphere of influence. So that's just something I'm thinking about. And so I'm just passing it on to you, not that I have answers, but that I'm asking questions.
Amazing. Well, it's like manifesting.
Yeah. And also, you know, really working with the level two work, sending a lot of energy and a lot of love. Or as one friend said years ago, if love isn't the answer, we're asking the wrong question.
Yes, I'm destined to take that class next.
It's very helpful, yes.
Yes. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, Annabelle?
Hi. I just wanted to touch on a little bit of the connection between the self-created health and the Quantum Touch 2 work, and even the Quantum Touch 1 work. I've been reading a book called The Intention Experiment, mm-hmm. and kind of looking into the work of the Heart Math Institute,
yeah,
and they talk about a concept called coherence.
Right.
And I see a lot of similarities between the heart math and the coherence and the Quantum Touch 2. And I'm thinking, as a healer, to have a higher level of coherence, which is what the self-created healing is doing, it's
yes.
creating like ultimate coherence,
yes.
That you become a much more effective healer. I know that when you run the energy and you do the breathing and you do the body sensation, that you mm-hmm. raise your vibration in that
right.
in that moment. And I've actually found that the more energy I run, the more coherent I feel, but
right.
it's not nearly as profound as doing the self created healing.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
So I think that there's a lot of, it all works together really beautifully.
Yeah, I completely agree. And heart math has been on track on a lot of levels, but that that whole world coherence thing where they're trying to show that you can affect random number generators to the point that says, yes, yeah, see, consciousness really does have an effect in the world. Well, mm-hmm. compare that to, you know, what I demonstrated in Hong Kong, that I can adjust the posture of 450 people simultaneously in a few seconds. One is saying, yes, it has some kind of effect, but we can't really define where it's coming from or who's doing it. And the other is saying, oh, we can pinpoint it, and we can do it right now. The the self-created, it's like, you know, it's like taking the same idea but just bringing it out, you know, 100 years into the future.
Mm-hmm.
The self-created health is the most profound work because that is the heart of the matter. That's where everything really generates from. The level two book is showing us that the boundaries of what we believe ourselves to be have been severely limited and mistaken, and we can redefine all the sciences again, or not redefine, but we can expand on what all the sciences can be, and hopefully have science become empirical again, as opposed to dogmatic as it's become. But the synthesis of all these things together, as I've said many times, is something I'm still developing and understanding myself. I just come up with good answers. It doesn't mean I know how they all fit together yet.
Well, I found with your work, it's really been the most resonant with me with anything that I've worked with, and just continuing my own research and my own practice. I mean, I don't have anything else really to say except that I see the connection.
Yeah.
And it's, for me, it's just a matter of continuing to practice and to see
Please.
Where it goes.
Yeah.
It's really exciting.
And as you guys have insights, let us know, because, you know, your insights are as good as anyone's. I mean, we had somebody who reviewed QT2 book, and he wrote down, oh, I just write the person's name down, and I send it energy, and they get healed. I go, well, that's a pretty good app. You know, I didn't even think of that one. So we're all coming up with discoveries, so keep doing it and let us know what you're finding.
I've actually found that beauty is a really strong feeling in the heart.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, work with beauty. Work with anything that opens your heart. And sometimes I just access more and more sensation through my heart, and that works really well. You know, we've got a bunch of calls, and we're running out of time, so if we can move on, that would be great.
Okay, bye.
Thank you.
Okay, let's hear from Nancy.
Hey, Richard.
Hey.
I'm sitting here just full of gratitude. I want to tell you, I think you are a master teacher.
Well, thank you.
Who is able to sit beside your students. I just hear such an humbleness, and I so appreciate your journey and the openness that you have to others. I'm just so appreciative. There's been many modalities that I've learned and looked at in inner work, but you have a gift of bringing them together. And I was thinking about when I took the class notes and printed them out, and there's just a few pieces of paper, and I was thinking how a dollar bill, you know, if I have a $1,000 bill, it's just a piece of paper, but the value that's behind all of that and what it can do, it's wonderful. And I did the process tried to do it last night, and I felt resistant, so I just gave myself some space. And mm-hmm. what I learned was, you know, your process is like a recipe. If you really do it, you get a wonderful product at the end, and I'm just so appreciative. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate everything you said.
Okay, let's hear from Sally.
Yes, Richard, thank you. I was just making a quick report in on the anger.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up doing the process with the anger and discover interesting and new things. Actually, the anger was an appropriate survival tool.
Yes.
And that was good, and that it had gotten to be where I was angry at myself for being angry.
Mm-hmm.
So I could soothe the child and say, you know, that was how you knew to survive. And it isn't necessary now. There are other coping tools that you can use other than anger.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, you know, very positive. So thank you very much. And I tip onto the woman who's saying beauty with QT, too, is the fact that a lot of times if somebody I want to send energy to, I a lot of times find a beautiful picture of nature on my iPad, and I use that to focus on in relation to that person when I send.
What a nice idea. That's what I love about it. It's so open-ended. People can make up stuff, and it just works.
Well, and you're very open-ended. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Wow, this is great.
Okay, Raymond?
Oh, hello, this is Elizabeth. Hi. Raymond,
hi.
Just beside me. Hi, Dion. Hi, Richard.
Hello.
This is Elizabeth from Hong Kong. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh,
nice
wow.
Wow, how? It's me. Okay, I just want to report a few things after these 2 days. So I found that in addition to QT 1 and 2, Richard, you just give me another gift on my life.
Oh.
That's the self-created. Wow, thank
yeah.
you so much. And I found that QT 1 and 2 are those techniques, the basic techniques, the simple techniques that can help others and help
yeah.
ourselves.
Right.
Yeah, that's the physical sign, or maybe it's kind of the spiritual sign. And self-created health gives us a chance to look into ourselves deeply and clean up. And then after self-created health, we can help others with much more power and help
exactly.
us. Yeah, that's the way I think after all this, because of what? After I did the exercise, in the morning, our time, I found that it's not only others, but people will give you emotion, issues,
yeah.
conditions, situations tend to give us some kind of emotions. Because maybe I give a brief idea of what's going on with me. I got a chest pain for over a year. I always find that that's related to people or somebody hurt me a long time ago. But after the exercise I did this morning,
yeah.
I found that it's not. It's happened a year ago. That's the time I got the level 2 instructor status. And at that time, I said, oh, I need to teach QT2.
Yes.
But all those contents inside drive me crazy. I need some more explanation. I'm worried about that. I can't do as good as you, or maybe I can't pass the message half as you expected. So I got so worried. I tend to find all those information, how to fix it, or what's the 33 seconds or what.
Yeah, right.
It gives me so intensive. And I'm eager to work it hard. I want to do it the best I can. So I worry, and worry is the emotion I carry on until now.
Okay,
but
good.
I did it yesterday. I go through all those stuff, and
yeah.
then come to the release section.
Mm-hmm.
I change it to anger.
Yes.
At the first, I do the meditation part, not the angry like the part. So at first time, I did it. I feel hurt in my leg.
Mm-hmm.
And then I feel the tense at my back. I mean, the T3 up to T7, something like that.
Yeah.
And after the first meditation, go through it all again, the degree from 8 to 3. Drop it down. And then the second time, from 3 to 1.
Wow.
And then the third time, yeah, from 1 to point something, I still feel something, but
yeah.
it's not hurt anymore.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, and then the last time, yeah. But I have to deal with the issue, right? Not the person or the people. So I just imagine that, well, I got all those stuff solved already. Actually, it's now solved already. But I go back at the time and pretend that I can do everything. I can do as good as you. That's
well, of
what
course.
I think. And
but
I talk with myself. Yes?
I just have to thank you and Raymond so much for taking care of me in Hong Kong. That was so beautiful. And I'm so glad. And I'm so glad you're doing this work, and I'm so grateful for everything. Thank you so much.
Oh, no, no, I'm the one who's to say thank you on behalf of all those people who benefit from QT. Yes, it really did it. Because we got old people that can't walk, but after two sessions of QT, she can walk again. She's an 89-year-old woman on her wheelchair for a few years.
Please write up the story and send it to our office. We'll put it in our newsletter. It's a great story. And if you can show any pictures, too, to go along with it, that would be fantastic. That goes for everybody.
Okay.
If you've ever got any good stories like that, take some photos and send us the story, and we'll put it in our newsletter and inspire thousands and thousands of other people. If you want to touch a lot of people, just write up your stories.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
That's right. That's what it is. You know, I'm the one who should say thank you. And I just want to tell you that all those uncomfy feeling is all gone right now. I just got some sore back and some tired feeling. So I know that this work, the self-creator health, really work. And I need to go further in that, how to mix it with level one and level two. And when I fix it out, I'll write a letter to the office and ask for help, or maybe just let you guys know what's happening here or something like that.
I so appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Richard. Oh, that's all for now. So all the best.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. So
Are we going to continue? We have three more hands up.
Okay, we're out of time, but let's do the last three hands, and then we'll call it a day.
Okay. Manjushi?
Yes, hi. I just wanted to go back to the process one more time because this has been bothering me for a while. What about the issues that we kind of live with, you know, that are very close to us? Like, for women, maybe something like to do with physical. We've grown up in a culture where we are supposed to look a certain way and behave a certain way, or, you know, take care of us a certain way. Our hair should be this way, our body should be that way.
So what emotions do you feel because of all those rules and conditions and judgments?
And that's the thing. I can't come up with anything except that. It is.
I would come up with, I'd be pretty angry. And I might be hurt by it, too. They're expecting me to be some hypothetical Barbie or whatever it is they're looking for. I'd be pretty angry about that, and it might have damaged me as well. So I'd be processing my anger and my hurt.
But then I feel like when I look at people, I also am looking at them through the same colored glass. So I'm not...
Yeah, so you're perpetuating it too.
Yeah.
So heal the damage, process the emotional injury to yourself, and feel the remorse for doing it, because all those judgments you have to other people, you're doing on yourself. The rule is that our judgments always come back to haunt us. Whatever judgments you have to others, you're doing them on yourself too.
Hmm.
So you got to forgive yourself. But first, release all the emotion for all your judgments, because you've taken on their judgments, and now you're doing it to you.
So underlying it is probably going to be anger and frustration.
Yeah, and it could be wounding, too. It could be hurt underneath the anger.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, we have Edith.
Yeah, hello.
Hi.
Calling. Well, something came up from me during working on the process this morning, and it was working, having problem with a specific person, and then during the releasing the emotion, there came something up which was in relation to what happened earlier before with another person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do you go through the process with the first you started?
Okay, we kind of talked about this a little bit before, but what you can do is write down the biggest incidents that happened with all the people in your life in that theme.
Uh-huh.
Find Okay. Find the three biggest incidents and just process those.
Okay, so I was not sure if we were talking about this before or not.
Yeah, yeah, that was sort of what we were saying. So just find the big themes and process the themes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Thank you.
You bet, sure.
Thank you.
Welcome.
And we have Lori.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to double check something about the negative ego that you've talked about.
Sure.
After everyone's questions and stuff, I think I understand it, but I just want to make sure that this is kind of the gist.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you are going into self-pity, which will lead to being a martyr, or
right.
you're being better than, you're living with the negative ego.
Absolutely.
Leading.
Absolutely.
And that's it. Like, there's nothing else to really negative ego. It's self-pity. And better than
and self-importance.
Yeah,
self-pity and self-importance are the two primary games. Now, they play out in many ways. They can play out through blame and punishment and avoiding responsibility and fear of loss and all kinds of different ways. But that's really what they come down to, self-pity and self-importance, which is the better than. You got it.
Okay. Cool. Thank you so much. And thanks,
thank
everybody.
You. Well, thanks, everybody. This has been a wonderful, wonderful call. And let's put everybody on speaker. And I really appreciate everyone so much.
Hello.
Thank you.
See you next Saturday.
Okay.
Bye. Have a blessed
Bye.
Bye.
Have a
great
good
week,
everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.